broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
World famous Phil Hendry Show. Gee, I can't hear that music. I know, they dropped the level of the music while I was talking, or they thought I was going to start. There it is. Okay, yeah. Welcome back to world famous Phil Hendry Show on your radio. And welcome to our program, 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. Tonight, a couple of things going on for you. We have, obviously, our news and information hour, but we've got a couple of guests that we're going to bring on. Justin McElroy, who was with us last night, is going to join us again to talk about the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Jeff Dowder is going to be joining us concerning a very bizarre and, dare I say, disgusting and obscene book. And I'm being very serious. Amazon's got it. It's called Wet Goddess. I'll describe what that's about. It's just vile. And Herb Sewell is going to join us this hour to talk about Michael Vick, a little bit more on Michael Vick. Now, I know that the Michael Vick story in and of itself, it's very interesting. People will say, oh, the Michael Vick story is old. Yeah, that's why everybody was talking about it right after Vick got injured on Sunday. That's why everybody is back talking about it as the Philadelphia Eagles, run around seeing whether or not they're going to have a quarterback for the next game. But it's old? No, I don't think so. No, people are not done with Michael Vick by a long shot. People are not done with Michael Vick by a long... Let me explain something, all right? Now, and I understand that there's a cultural difference, quote-unquote, for some people. Torturing animals, I don't give a damn why, is not something that civilized human beings do. And the other thing I was going to say, and I think I'll say it, is if you torture animals... And it's, something that you do. Well, that's fine, I guess, but understand it. And even if it wasn't against the law, there's going to be a lot of people that just flat don't like your ass. What do you think of that? Think somebody ought to pass a law? Joining us on our newsmaker line tonight is Herb Sewell to talk about this. It might be a strange choice, but we thought we'd bring Herb on because he's got a point of view that... he wants to share, and the reason why I say strange choice, Herb, I've been sort of experimenting with the idea of having you tell your story.
Well, I don't know that I'm not being a broadcaster,
Well, all right. Why were you in prison?
I was in prison for child molestation.
All right. So you were in prison for molesting children.
That is correct. But the thing I wanted to say, Phil.
All right. Well, hold on. How long were you in prison for?
I was in prison for 8 years.
8 years. And you are now in a halfway house?
That is correct, yes. I'm on parole. My probation necessitates that I stay several hundred yards away from children. It also necessitates that I... any place where children congregate, I may not live near, nor am I allowed to travel near or be near. As well as my address is anonymous, as I mentioned, at one of a halfway house that is operated by the state of California. And I'm right now the terms of my probation do allow me to work via a telecommuting situation.
All right, so you're there basically at your residence working.
That is correct. Yes.
And what do you do?
I do research. I do research for I can't mention the school, but I do assistant. Statistics as well as research having to do with political science.
All right. So you having done all of those things, and they're certainly nothing to crow about, you are now on probation, and you're now at a halfway house, and you haven't reoffended.
No, I certainly have not. Not at all.
But, all right. What is your opinion of Michael Vick?
I'm very, very grateful to have this opportunity, Phil, to talk about Michael Vick. My opinion of Michael Vick is that what I've done in my life, I think that Michael Vick, I would never, ever cheer for him as a football player. And even though he served his sentence, I would never cheer for him as a football player. And the reason is this. I may have molested children, but he tortured a dog, tortured several dogs, and that's something I would never do. Never in my wildest dreams would I ever do that. And that makes me, in essence, better than him. And that's why I'm excited to be on your program.
Now, what, hold on.
I do know. I want to say that I'm excited to be on your program, and I'm excited to talk about this. Because for the first time in several years, I'm able to get on a radio show, a television show, and not talk about my downfall and talk about my problems and the crimes that I've committed. I'm able to talk about another man's crimes, and I can feel confident that I'm better than him.
All right, so you're better than him. What do you mean better than him?
What do I mean better than him?
Yeah.
Just what I said. I'm better than him. This is a man that's, he killed dogs. He tortured dogs.
You molested children.
That is exactly correct. And I paid my...
Well, he paid his dues, too.
Hold on. I know that he paid his dues in prison, and I paid my dues in prison, and he's come out, and now he's trying to start his life again, as I'm trying to start my life again, but he's trying to start his life again after having killed dogs. I'm trying to start my life again after having molested Jeff. Yes, I molested children, but I didn't kill a dog. And so you ask me, what do I mean when I say I'm better than him? I don't think it takes much of an imagination.
Well, when you say you're better than him, are you morally superior?
I think listening to your broadcast this evening, I could be wrong. I don't want to say that I have the absolute on this. But I think anyone listening to your broadcast this evening, Phil, given the choice between me and Michael Vick, would choose, if this was a situation where we're going to have a social event, for instance, a barbecue. And as you know, we've had the Buddy Bellhaven has had her barbecue now every year since I got out, which is about 4.5 years ago. Walter, her husband, I met in prison. And Bunny is having she's having a reunion. And I would think that we could have our barbecue and not have a problem about that because Michael Vick killed dogs.
Well, look, that's getting way off the point.
No, it's not off the point because a lot of the neighbors don't want us to have this barbecue, and I made that point. I said to them, would you want Michael Vick to come to your house? And you know what they said? They said yes. And I said, well, guess what? He murdered dogs. And that's when they started to look sheepish.
You want to have some reunion, barbecue, or cookout for former inmates or these guys that were convicted of child molestation?
There was a couple of them were convicted of a variety of crimes. One of them was manslaughter. Another was child endangerment and so on. But none of them had anything to do with endangering or murdering or torturing dumb animals. A dumb animal who has no idea why what's happening to him is happening. Furthermore, did not ask for it. I'm not saying the children that get molested ask for it. What I'm saying is this.
No, I think what you're saying is you already said it. You're better than him.
No, I'm saying that you've got a dog murdering, torturing SOB who's playing professional football, and you've got Herb Sewell who did what he did, and I'm living in a two-story wood frame house in one of the more degenerated areas of the city that I'm in with 5 or 6 other deviants trying to get my life started again. Who do you think has it easier? Michael Vick.
All right, here is a moral dilemma, and it's not a dilemma for me. I think I'm pretty clear on this. And our number is 877-876-PHIL. Children are human beings.
I understand that.
And dogs are dogs.
Well, no, but you're using the excuse that Michael Vick and his people use. They're dumb animals, you know?
Yeah, well, that's exactly what you call them.
Yeah, I call them a dumb animal because they need more of our sympathy, not less.
Do you think a dog is entitled to more sympathy than a human being?
Do I think a dog is more... say that again.
I'll say it again. Do you think a dog is entitled to more sympathy than a human being?
I think that a dog is entitled to sympathy. I don't know where you're going with that.
Why do you need to... I'm just asking you. Is a dog equal to a human?
What are you driving at?
What am I driving at? I'm driving at this. The crime against killing a human being can be as severe as death. The crime against killing or torturing a dog is as severe as a prison sentence, but you don't get, it's not a capital crime. So what I'm saying is the following thing. I'm saying that if you torture a dog or you torture a child, Both are disgusting and despicable acts, but one is a human being protected by many, many, many more laws than an animal.
Right. The animal has absolutely no protection, can be tortured, can be run over with a car, can be beat up, spit on, laughed at.
And what do you mean laughed at?
The point that I'm making is the dog, you can treat the dog any way you want, and you're playing football on a Sunday afternoon. And you can say anything you want, Phil, but I know that I'll go to my grave knowing, as despicable a man as I am, and I can, and I did some things that were very despicable, there's no question about it, but as despicable a man as I am, I'm better than Michael Vick.
And well, that's like a mantra for you, huh?
Well, if it has to be, yes. Absolutely.
All right, we're on the line here with Herb Sewell. Take a break here, bud. 877-876-PHIL. And we're talking about Herb's take on the on Michael Vick returning to the NFL, the crimes that Herb committed, and the comparison, if there really can be made a comparison between him and Michael Vick, that he is making. 877-876, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Call the Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445. Call the Patriot Hotline now, 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, and with me is Herb Sewell. Mr. Sewell is here in the Los Angeles area. For 8 years, Herb Sewell was incarcerated at Atascadero Hospital, the forensic hospital in Northern California. Atascadero, at one time, they might have referred to as a hospital for the criminally insane. But nowadays, they call it a forensic hospital, right, Herb?
That is correct. A forensic hospital, and I did do some trustee work.
You were an assistant to a couple of the doctors there.
That is correct. I was assistant to Dr. Suffend and Charles. And at that time, I was merely a record keeper, and I've taken what I learned there into my private life here in the job that I have here. But you're absolutely correct, yes.
All right. Now, you underwent a variety of different treatments, didn't you?
Yes. I had insulin shock at one point, intensive psychotherapy, vitamin therapy, drug therapy. And I was quite, when I first went there, I was quite psychotic. There's no question about it. I was violent. I was probably on the verge of some sort of a homicidal act, I'm not sure. I did get to know others that were very, very sick. I got to know Bonnie Bell Evans, husband Walter Bell even. She's the one that's putting on this feed, as they say.
Walter Bell Haven is who?
Well, Walter Bell Haven was convicted of a serial murder, and this was of a series of children.
And well, they house all you guys in the same place?
No, it's not. No. I got to know Walter when he was undergoing treatment.
And how did he respond to treatment?
No, he did not.
He did not?
No, he did not. I'm fully, fully confident that Walter will never get out. I don't think even Walter wants himself to get out. I think the type of man he is such that you wouldn't want him out. I don't want him out. I think the only person that does want him out is his wife.
Would he ever harm his wife?
Never in a million years.
Isn't that interesting? So Walter Bell Haven, this man is a serial murderer.
That is correct.
That no one wants out except his wife because you're confident he'd never hurt her.
Not only would Walter not hurt Bunny, I think, and this is the most incredible thing of all, I think he's quite frightened of her. In other words, I think he's fearful of losing her. And so that is the bizarre hold that she has over him.
So you got out and you are now in the free world, and you're working out of a halfway house. You've not reoffended.
No.
Do you feel you ever will?
Well, no, Phil. I
mean, let me ask you a better question. You feel you've overcome these problems?
Absolutely, yes.
You're not conning me.
I'm not conning you. I can tell you You will never again, and I promise you this, Phil, and I'll let you can come and see me in prison if it ever happens. You will never again hear of Herb Sutton doing these things. Never, ever again. You will never. And if you do, it's easy enough to look me up. I'll be in some jail cell someplace if I survive it. And by that I mean, if that ever happens to me again, I will hope that law enforcement puts me out of my misery.
You mean you want the police to shoot you?
I would want, yes. Not that I would. It wouldn't be suicide by a cop, but I just hope that I just would want to do it.
All right, 877-876-PHIL. We're talking here with Walter Belhaven about the relative, the comparison between himself and Michael Vick. He was inside Herb Sewell for child molestation. Michael Vick went inside for animal abuse. And you said, use your words again, Herb.
I'd be very happy to. I'm better than, and there's not many people I can say this about, I'm better than Michael Vick.
877-876-PHIL. Let me go to a phone call here from Salt Lake City tonight. We have Tina. Go ahead, Tina. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hi. I would just like to say that it's just really outrageous for this man to say that he's better than Michael Vick. And first off, let me start by saying I do not agree, nor do I condone the abuse of animals. But the fact that this man took a human being, a child, and molested them, and then has the audacity to sit there and say he's better than Michael Vick, is ridiculous. And that right there just goes to show that his mental state says what he did wasn't as bad, so it's okay.
Because no, I'm not going to say that.
So
I'm not going to say that,
Michael,
but I will.
What Michael Vick did is worse, and it's not worse because it's an animal. And unless you're a vegetarian, sir.
It's an animal? In other words, ma'am, no. You have to understand. I'm not talking about...
I mean, you know, I'm not a
so you so let me just be let me be clear. You think it's funny to beat animals or to abuse them? Is that what you're saying?
I don't think it's funny, but I think it's
well. What were you laughing at?
For you,
you were laughing,
I'm laughing
ma'am.
At you. Actually, I think it's horrendous for you to sit there and say that you believe you're better than Michael Vick because all you did was molest a child and he abused an animal. You are taking. What you
and ma'am, when you abuse an animal,
less than abusing an animal,
do you think, let me tell you something that I learned in prison. Let me tell you what I learned in prison. Someone who abuses animals the way Michael Vick does, next stop, human beings. Don't worry about it. It will happen.
Well,
you've already jumped.
You either
jumped that rope,
or you did it when you
You're telling me that I jump rope?
No.
Listen to her. She's telling me I jump rope.
Jump road is what she said.
Jump rope.
R-O-A-D.
R-O-A-D.
Well, it's very, you know, ma'am.
And went straight to the children. So, you, and apparently...
Oh, in your mind, it's better if we start out by torturing animals. Let's torture animals first. Let's torture animals first and then move on. My God. You want to see the whole...
Do you believe it?
You want to see the whole animal kingdom put to the fire before you arrest someone.
No, sir.
Well, I mean, you have
Michael
torturing
Vick
animals.
What he did. But for you to sit there and say that you are better than him, you are.
Right, let me. Yeah. Let me ask a question.
Less than what he did, and what you did.
Let me ask a question.
Far worse.
What do you think? Why do you say you're better when it was a dog?
I'll tell you why. Because that it's not about the dog. It's about our humanity. When you abuse an animal, you are turning the same amount of humanity within yourself into garbage. Whether it's a human being or an animal, you have degraded yourself the same amount. So you may not get as much prison time, but Michael Vick degraded himself more because that animal was a dumb animal and can't go to heaven. How do you feel? What do you think about that?
Well, what does that mean?
A little child could go to heaven. A dog just goes to a ditch.
You know what? So a little child can go to heaven?
Yeah.
What does that have to do with an animal, sir?
I got you on that one.
No, you didn't, because all you're doing is showing how ignorant and messed up you are, because I guarantee
what?
At some point we're going to hear a little report about you're back in prison, because you think what
I already made a bet. I'll bet you, too. I already made the bet with Mr. Hendry. I'll make the bet with you. But the fact is, if you kill a dog,
to make, and you said, hopefully, if it happens again, you know, right there, the issue is, sir, child molestation.
Ma'am,
you have a
huge
problem.
I got to take a break. Thank you very much for your call. Tina, thank you for your call. Appreciate it. Thank you. You too. 877-876-PHIL.
I want to say something. That woman.
Well, we'll give you a chance to say it, but I do have to get into a break, and we are talking here with Herb Sewell. Mr. Sewell, incarcerated for molesting children. He's on our program saying, yes, he did do those crimes, but Michael Vick tortured animals, and that's much, much worse. 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry.
I want to say something.
Call the Patriot Hotline. Dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
World famous Phil Hendry Show here every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. God will get it done no matter what. With me on our newsmaker line is Herb Sewell, and Mr. Sewell is in an undisclosed location, and the reasons for that have been discussed in the program. It has to do with the fact that he has been in prison for a despicable crime, and he's not denying that it was despicable, child molestation. And we're talking with him about Michael Vick. And why is Michael Vick back in the news? He's back in the news because there were some questions about the injury he sustained last Sunday, being late hits, cheap shots. Is he being targeted for the crime that he went to prison for? Is Michael Vick, and there are some people saying, you know, he paid his debt to society, leave him alone. Those are the very same people, by the way, who will tell you that no matter how long in prison a cop stays, for instance, for police abuse, once he gets out, he's still fair game to be called pig. So I don't really know what they're talking about. That having said that, Herb, I don't know how you call yourself a better person than Michael Vick.
Well, you know, it's very interesting. You started out as sounded as if you were going to defend me, and now you turn around and say, how can I be a better? You just said that Michael Vick deserves the criticism.
I'm saying people have a right to criticize, yeah, even after the fact, yeah. They don't have the right to cripple him or to take a shot at him.
Exactly. But they don't have a right to do that to me. With him, I can call him a torturing animal, because he did torture animals, which you can't say to me. And the reason why is this. Children, when they are abused, it's a bad thing. But those children, once they pass on as older people, they go to heaven. Or they'll go to hell, but let's hope they go to heaven. When a dog dies, he goes into a black, vacant nothing. So the dog has gone through untold misery, and for what? For a void, just to go from being a dog to nothing. There's no, you see what I'm saying? So,
well, if one wants to subscribe to your theory of the afterlife, perhaps.
Well, what do you mean? I'm talking about Judeo-Christian. This is the Judeo-Christian ethic. A human at least has heaven to look forward to. A dog has nothing but a long black room. That's the afterlife for animals. It's just a dark room.
For eternity?
It could be. In other words, the afterlife for an animal is hell.
Well, talking about the metaphysical aspects of this is irrelevant. 877-876-PHIL. Let's go to Leo in Atlanta. Leo, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Why is it irrelevant?
Because how could you talk about it? We don't know. Go ahead, Leo.
Oh, I'm sorry. You said one thing earlier. I want to let you know, Mr. Herb. You said a man who kills dogs, the next step for them is to kill humans, right? Correct? Is that what you said?
Exactly.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay, great. All right. The ratio of that happening is an extremely low percentage. A repeat offender, that ratio is completely higher than for a man who kills dogs to turn and start to kill humans. I'm just sorry to say. I don't believe that you are actually better than Michael Vick. Even though Michael Vick probably...
Where are you getting those statistics? Where are you getting those statistics, sir?
Yeah, look. He tortured dogs. Okay, great.
Where are you getting where are you getting your statistics on repeat offenders?
Repeat offenders?
I don't know where you're getting that. Yes. How do you? Because I've been told by police that people that torture animals often go on to killing humans.
It's the way you torture animals. Now, I have a friend who's a psychologist. She's purebred through college, everything like that, psychologist. And we were having this discussion about this, and she said the same thing to me. Torturing dogs is one thing, but to have dogs fight each other is a completely different atmosphere. It's not you putting a dog, hanging it up or something, whipping it. It doesn't work that way. A dog that fights is torturing a dog, but they're torturing each other. It's a completely different atmosphere.
They're torturing each other. Are you getting this guy? Torturing each other. Did they just elect to have a fight and the humans just happened upon it and decided to bet on it?
No, I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is torturing. Torturing means to actually physically apply abuse. They're applying abuse. The dogs are applying abuse on each other. Please.
The human beings put them in that situation. They would never have done that to each other had humans not. You're asking me to believe that somehow the dogs are hurting each other and the humans are incidental to that. That's insane.
Now, Herb, this is an impassioned defense, Herb, but you're not hearing what this man is saying. That may be true, everything you're saying, but to say still that you are better than Michael Vick.
This guy is burying himself. Why don't you let him do it? Why'd you butt in?
What do you mean?
What I'm saying is, we're saying in a mental standpoint that torturing, what you did to kids, that's torturing. You physically applied abuse to a child. That's completely different of us watching a dog fight. That doesn't
us? What do you mean us? Here. What does that mean, us? You've watched dog fights?
Humans, we're talking about humans.
Human beings are the ones that put the dogs together. Humans put the dogs in that situation. Humans breed them for that situation. Humans manipulate the situation. Humans create the situation. And you're trying to tell me the humans are not incidental.
No, he's not saying that. He's saying the humans are not applying their hands. The humans are not touching the dogs. The humans are not.
Oh, excuse me for saying this, sir, but that's an unmanly argument. Unmanly. That's a very unmanly argument.
I'm sorry.
Saying the dogs.
Putting your hands on a child, you to do things to a child, do things that a child feels uncomfortable, that may turn you on, arouse you. That's what you did, correct?
Right.
That is what makes you continuously want to do it again. You may have gotten done. You're pretty sure you've done more than once. What I'm saying to you is a dog, we don't have a control over the dog saying, okay, stop, like a video game. We let the dogs go. We may raise them to be beasts, but they react on their own after that. That doesn't force us.
Oh, you know something, Mr. Henry, I can't believe you're letting this man say this. This is the most asinine thing.
You know what, on any given other day, but you're the one that brought this up, Herb.
You're trying to make me believe that the dogs somehow are ultimately responsible for their own fate. Is that right?
I said that. No. That's not what I said. You said that.
Are you saying, can dogs drive? Dogs don't drive cars. They didn't drive themselves to the fight.
You said men that are dog fighters are usually turning to people who want to kill men next.
That's right.
Men, humanity,
that's right.
Whatever. That's incorrect. Because
you're trying to get me to believe that dogs drive.
That's not what I said at all.
He didn't say that. What a stupid comment to make.
Well, he said the dogs are controlling themselves.
You're
saying the dogs control themselves, so they might as well be able to operate a motor vehicle.
That's not what I said at all. We raise like raising a child. We can raise a child to do well, but a child will make his own decisions at the end. A dog, when you raise a dog to fight, it has the instinct to fight. When you let the dog loose,
hold on for a minute. Can you hold on for a minute? Because I got somebody here. Hold on for a minute. Will you get out of the room, please?
Who is that?
It's one of the men here in the halfway house. It's somebody in the halfway house. Hold on for a minute. Tell him to get out of here, will you? If he doesn't. Johnny, you know I went to prison for... Oh. I'm sorry. It was someone who wandered into my room. Yeah, it's someone from the halfway house. This guy's a mental case, and he started laughing because he's listening to the radio, and he's listening to you. You know what? Leo.
I pray he's not a kid. That's all.
No, he's not a kid. He's an adult man who lives in a halfway house with me. Now, hold on. See what he... You know what he told me, though? This will be interesting to you, Leo. He said he was listening to you and he's laughing his ass off. Now, this guy was inside for manslaughter.
Oh, that's a bunch of horse crap.
I'm telling you the truth.
man, you crazy. No, I'm sorry. Listen, you're not understanding what I'm saying. The concept of the mind complexity, you're not understanding at all. You're not getting it. You understand how the mind develops. You're looking at it as the dog. We're saying human contact is what arouses us. That's what I'm telling you. Human contact is what arouses us more than anything. What you did, the ratio of you turning over to do it again, maybe even to do it again,
but
is drastic. Because once you do it again and again, you're going to get bored.
You get turned on by looking at dogs fight.
Hold on, hear me out. Hear me out.
What is that about? That's weird.
Sir, you're going to do it over and over again with kids.
I'm just telling you. There's a guy in the house that's laughing every time he's turned his radio up in his room. Johnny, don't butt me. Every time he hears you talk, he's laughing.
Oh, that's horse dung, and you know it.
Because what you
know that you know.
Michael Vick's crime is not even on comparison level to yours. Humanity runs the world.
I can tell by the way you're talking, you think the dogs are just, they're a lot of fun to watch, you know, die.
What?
And, oh, God almighty.
What a thing to say.
All right, listen.
I own American Bully. And my bully is not, my dog's temperament is very well-mannered. She doesn't
American
bark.
Bully?
I ask her
What's
to bark.
That?
She's an American
What's
Bully.
An American?
That's what she is.
What's that? What is it?
It's the breed of a pit. That's what it is. I love my dog.
So you do raise them to fight. So you do raise them to fight.
What?
Yes,
I
you do.
Fight?
Yes.
Not a $2,500 dog, I don't. No. I want to show people like you that their dogs, it's not them, it's the owners. My dog.
Let me ask you a question. Has your dog ever taken the throat out of a kid? No. I'm sure it hasn't.
No.
Has your dog ever wanted to?
No.
See? You don't know. Well, how do you know?
This dog hangs around with cats.
My dog
They do that. Dogs.
It doesn't.
Dogs will do that.
It doesn't even
dogs. Dogs. They pretend like they like cats to put you at ease. And the next thing
they pretend now. They know you're saying they're smarter than what you
dogs are pretending
earlier.
That's exactly what I'm telling you. This guy's laughing at me. He's laughing at me.
Well, you're being asinine.
No, I'm asking this man to consider the fact that his dog is putting on the fact that he likes cats so he can get the throat right out of a 3-year-old when he's not looking.
Oh, come on, man. This guy's trained his dog. You know, as much as you can train dogs to fight, you can train dogs to be a very domestic and placid and good around kids and so forth.
You know, Phil, the day you stop making arguments for your callers will be a red-letter day, I'll tell you that.
Leo, thank you very much for your call, sir. I got to take a break. I appreciate it. Very good call. 877-876-PHIL. Who's this guy?
What guy?
This guy in the house.
Oh, that's Johnny. What? Johnny lives here in the halfway house. Johnny was in the, he was not at a Tascadero with me. You were aware, the men's colony at San Luis Obispo? He was at the men's colony at San Luis Obispo for manslaughter. And, some kind of violent act, and he was listening to this gentleman that I was talking to in his room, and he came in, and it was the most shocking thing in the world. Don't you ever stand over me and laugh like that again. Do you understand me?
All right, hold on, Herb. The show is here.
Right. So he walked in, and he laughed because he thought this chap Leo was funny.
Well, I think Leo was making his case, and he was, and perhaps one could argue with what he was saying, but the fact is this, and you still haven't said anything, in my opinion, that contravenes it, and that is that you are better than Michael Vick, okay?
But did you hear what that man, he said he had an American bully, which I don't know what that is, and
it's a kind of a pit bull, he said.
All right. And he said that the dog liked cats. Well, that was the tip. That was my first red flag. Any dog that pretends he likes cats is doing that to put you off and me off so that when we're not looking, he's got a shot at a 3-year-old's throat.
This is exactly what you were arguing with that man against. You said, and you were almost incredulous. You said, "How can you possibly say that animals make decisions for themselves? How can you say that animals motivate themselves?"
No. I was talking about the dog fighting. Now I was talking about the dog fighting.
But now you're telling me the dogs pretend that they like cats, so that it puts us off the scent of them wanting to take the throat out of a 3-year-old.
Are you done? Because that's not what I said.
That's exactly what you just said, man. I could have people call in. That's exactly what you just said. Hold on. 877-876-PHIL. If he didn't say that, man, then I'm the wicked weech of the West. 877-876-PHIL, the world famous Phil Henry Show.
Radio for patriots by patriots. It's the Phil Henry Show. Hotline now, 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
World famous Phil Henry Show. 877-876-PHIL. And Herb Sewell joins us for our final segment, talking about Michael Vick and the unfortunate. And here's the thing about the Michael Vick situation. He was injured. And some people speculated that he might have been targeted. What do you think, Herb?
Well, I'm not a football fan, so I don't know.
Do you think that a man like that? Well, I shouldn't ask you if you think it's cool to target him.
Well, if you want my honest opinion, I would say that the environment that Michael Vick operates in is a violent environment because he's a professional football player, and so he's the target, obviously, of individuals who are going to try to tackle him and otherwise disrupt what it is that he's trying to do. So I don't know if Michael Vick has really any right at all to say anything about anything when it comes to that.
Well, he hasn't. I don't believe Michael Vick has said a word. I think it's been mostly the maybe his teammates. I don't know.
Well, I thought I heard someone say that retribution of some kind.
Well, and there's also the argument that his offensive line sucks, but...
Well, that's what I mean. I don't know enough about football, but you're asking about retribution. I would say that Michael Vick, having tortured dogs, yes, I would. If I were Michael Vick, I'd expect that.
Do you expect retribution for what you've done?
Do I expect it? Phil, the reason why I'm in an undisclosed location, and the reason why no one knows where I live, is because retribution is regularly meted out to those of us who have been in prison for this crime. So I think, you know, for you to ask me whether or not do I expect retribution, that's why I'm in a place that is an undisclosed location. That's why I'm not allowed to say where I work. That's why I'm in a state-sponsored halfway house. Because these things do happen. And I'll go you on better. There are people, probably some that I talked to tonight on the phone, who think that retribution should be taken against me.
I wouldn't doubt that.
You would not doubt that?
No, I would not.
All right. Well, then, I think if you think that there is a big difference between me and Michael Vick, and there might very well be. Take a look at the reaction of people to both of us, and it's very similar. There are people that want Michael Vick to be crippled for life because of the things that he's done with dogs, just as there are people that would like to see me taken out once and for all. But at the end of the day, I maintain I'm way better than Michael Vick.
All right, you know, you saying that, and it being a fact...
I gave you my reasons.
Well, you didn't give me any reasons that I think... You're giving me a reason that I think is silly.
Silly?
Yes, it's silly.
The one about dogs, after they die, they're in a big dark room.
Yes, the one about dogs, after they die, they're in a big dark... You said that human beings can go to heaven. Human beings have a shot at heaven. Dogs, when they die, it's just vacant.
Yes, it's not even a big dark room. It's just a black... A dog, when he dies, goes where cartoon characters go after we don't need them anymore. Where do you think, for instance, where do you think Porky Pig is right now?
Herb, this is an asinine conversation.
Would you please humor me? Asinine? You asked me a question.
What do you mean, where do I think Porky Pig is now? Porky Pig isn't real.
Oh, okay. All right, Porky Pig isn't real, and he may not be real. He's real in the minds of a lot of people, Phil. And
I think Porky Pig is still around. Don't they still do Porky Pig?
What do you mean, don't they still do him?
Yeah. I mean, are they still drawing Porky Pig?
I don't know if they're drawing Porky Pig or not. Look at the pork.
I don't know. I'll have to look under pork, yeah.
Yeah, you look under pork.
Who is that? Good God almighty.
That's Bud Dickman.
And he's got to look under pork. Save yourself the time, Dickman. I don't think that Porky Pig is used any longer as a cartoon character, and so the question remains, where is he?
And he's not real. He was never real.
He's not real. All right. Well, okay. All right, hold on, because I can... Okay, he's not real. You know what? I've got an argument against that.
Oh, well, listen to you. Okay, hold on.
I know what I'm going to say, and here it is. We treat dogs the same way we treat Porky Pig, as if they're not real, as if they're something that we can go ha-ha-ha, point at, and go ha-ha-ha, and then we get rid of them the same way we get rid of, Porky Pig.
Pig?
Well, it's his last name, isn't it?
You're talking about his last name!
Please ask him to shut up.
All right, hold on for a minute. Porky Pig never existed. A dog does exist. A dog actually has some a dog actually affects the environment that humans are in. A dog is there. We see him. He sees us. He eats leaves. He eats dog food. He takes a dump. He licks our face. He has an impact on the environment, okay? Porky Pig never had...
Never had an impact on the environment, you were going to say? Smart guy, huh? Did you ever laugh at a Porky Pig? Did you ever laugh at Porky Pig?
Yes, I did.
All right. You exhaled a certain amount of carbon dioxide. That affected the carbon footprint that you create, which is probably monstrous.
All right, thanks very much, and that's that. That was the stupidest hour of radio that we've done in a great many stupid hours of radio. That one's right up there. The Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry. Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
World famous Phil Hendry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. And welcome to the program. We have a couple of things to do this hour. And again, we thank Herb Sewell for being with us. It's a very difficult thing to ask a guy to come on your radio show who has a criminal background, who admits to his criminal background. It is a courageous thing to come on a radio show or a talk show with a criminal background, regardless of what we may think that person's getting out of it. It's a courageous thing because you are obviously setting yourself up for every kind of attack, most of it justified. I don't think that Herb would argue that it isn't. So that part I don't have any qualms about. But I do have to say that it nonetheless is appreciated by us because he doesn't have to do it. He doesn't have to come on the air. He's getting whatever rehabilitative plus there is in it for him. We're happy to provide that. If it gives him some a better standing in the community, we're happy to provide that. Nonetheless, he's going to take his shots, whether he likes it or not. And the fact that he did come on knowing that, you know.
Gotta give the guy credit.
I give him credit. I give him credit for that. All right, even though that we will never, ever, and I think Herb understands this, never, ever, ever quite feel right about him given the crimes that he committed. 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. We're going to talk here in this first segment. We've got a couple of segments planned. We're going to talk in this first segment to Jeff Dowder. And Mr. Dowder is a part-time professor of mechanical physics at Caltech University. He is going to join us from his home in the San Gabriel Valley of Southern California. And this is something that I was talking about this briefly on my radio show on Saturday night. I saw something that just made me sick to my stomach. And then, of course, as I read on, I realized that there might be some motive or method to the madness of this thing. What I saw, what I read, ladies and gentlemen, was a review of a book called Wet Goddess. And this had been, actually, the story had been sent to me by my producer in Los Angeles, David Brinkley, who works at KFI Radio. And it was about a guy claiming to have had sexual relations with a dolphin.
You mean like a mammal?
Yes, the mammal, dolphin, the porpoise.
That's sick as hell.
Yes, it is. It's completely sick. This book, I later come to find out, is an absurdist. It's an absurdist tome. It's based upon a modern style of absurdist, dare I say, satirical writing. Nonetheless, it's taken to the nth degree of literally, you know, challenging the reader to believe it. To that end, one might say that it's like an Andy Kaufman sketch. Others might say, well, you know, humor at some point lets the audience in on the joke. So with me right now is Jeff Dowder. And Professor Dowder, you're not a guy that ordinarily works with literature or the liberal arts.
No, I don't. And it's really kind of interesting because I've got a couple of students who, have talked to me about that particular book you're talking about. And while I'm in the science department, I do have some limited knowledge and some limited interaction with a student in that part, you know.
Hold on, Doc. Your phone is fading in and out, okay?
Yeah, no, what I'm saying is I do have limited interaction with students in the liberal arts department.
Okay, and so in other words, why we're talking to you, though, is you've read this book?
No, I read the reviews, and I'm familiar with some of our students who do believe that, like yourself, it's a book that is revolting, and at the same time, it's a book that is, revealing. And
do they believe that it is a book of satire, or do they believe that it really happened?
I think they're split down the middle, and I think there's some that believe it did happen, and this is an individual, an individual who has had that experience. I think there's some that don't. But here's the reason why I think it's important to take both sides into consideration. First of all, I forgot what I was going to say. What are you talking about? You're talking about...
What do you mean, what am I talking... We're talking about this book, Wet Goddess.
Right, yeah. First of all, there's a similar study that was done, I don't think it's a book or anything, concerning a relationship that an individual who I know had with an otter, and I know that's a lie because an otter will rip you apart. I have spent the better part of 2 years and a couple of $100,000 of my own money going from one university to another, one city to another, and doing interviews on every talk program, television program, and any podcast, anybody who, I've been, speaking to groups of old ladies or like the Women's Old Lady Voter League, and I've talked to neighborhood watch groups, and I have done all of this to get the word out that Mr. Bo, who you know is a friend of mine, Mr. Henry, is a liar and did not have any such relationship.
Now, I know Toby Bo as a... he was a former professional surfer who is... Does he work with you on staff at Caltech?
No, he does not. He does... he's a writer. He's pretty much a part-time contributor to a few skateboarding magazines. He contributes to some surfing magazines. He has done he does tracks of migration of certain kinds of marine mammals for... different corporations and is in general sort of self-sustaining with some artwork that he does and so forth.
And so would you say he's an artist?
No, he's a scientist, but he is a alternative, very much an alternative lifestyle.
Is it Dr. Bo who, not Dr. Bo?
No, he's not a doctor. I'm a professor. He's just a scientist, with a master's background, but no.
Okay, is it his contention that he had a sexual relationship with an otter.
That's his contention, and the book came out, as I said, 2 years ago. And the first tip-off to me was the name of the book. It was simply called Otter, A Journey of Discovery. I found that really humorous, because if you're trying to tell me that you got, neighborly or friendly or however you want to put it with an otter right there, I'm calling bull, because an otter will tear all of your face. It'll tear you up. And
all right, well, you already said that. You said that an otter is a very violent creature.
Otters are extremely violent with humans. They're violent with any creature in the invasion of a habitat. And of course, it was Mr. Bo also who had given me the information about jackrabbits, high weeds, and so forth. So
now that was a story that was told to folks. The jackrabbits running fast?
Yeah, jackrabbits running fast through high, dry weeds caused, fires, because a spark of static electricity off their fur onto the weed caused just a blaze to erupt. And the rabbit is gone, so there's no way you're really going to be able to track or tag or otherwise track the rabbit to the hole.
Why would you want to do that?
What, the rabbit that caused it?
Well, why would you want to do that?
I mean, you're going to want to track it. I mean, look, we've had people that have been killed by bears. What do? You go out, you find a bear and kill it. I mean, I would want to know, if my house burned to the ground and someone said to me a jackrabbit sailing through a weed done it, I'm going to want to get, some payback or something, because
what do you mean payback? People track these bears because or any other kind of wild animal that can kill because they're afraid. I do not support that. I know it's a horrible thing that an animal will kill a human. I think killing that animal is, now that's nuts. I think the animal needs to be removed from that area and put further and deeper into the reserve, or preserve, I should say, where they're not going to have contact with a human being. Okay.
Well, okay. So if a rabbit running through the high weeds touches off a blaze that basically incinerates the San Bernardino Mountains, and you're saying to me, you come home to your cabin, it's burned all the way down to the footing, and you're supposed to go, oh, okay, well, I guess I'll make myself a peanut butter sandwich and I'll go back to work now. Is that what you're trying to tell me?
No, that's not what I'm trying to tell you at all, Professor. What I'm saying simply is, we're getting way off the track here, but you're talking about what Mr. Bo had discovered.
Toby Bowen's discovery law about in the late 90s.
All right, about why one of the reasons why we have forest fires. Okay, not to get off on that, I want to come back and get more into this book that you are, obviously you're claiming it's a farce.
I don't think it's a farce so much as I think it is it's a con, it's a hoax. I don't think he intended to be a farce. I think he intended it to be believed for the purpose of extracting money.
All right, we're going to come back here with Professor Jeff Dowder on what he calls a book that is a hoax, Otter, A Journey of Discovery. And he's talking about Mr. Toby Bo, a friend of his, who he claims wrote this book for, exploitive money-making purposes. And that's it. 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Radio for Patriots. Hi, Patriots. It's the Phil Hendry Show. Call the Patriot Hotline. Dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
World famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL. And welcome to the program. We have with us Jeff Dowder. And Professor Dowder is with Caltech University. We're talking about, we started talking about, and we need to have for for purposes of, I guess, for reference purposes, we need to have this book in the background. It was one that was appearing on Amazon with some five-star reviews. The fact is, this book called Wet Goddess, about a guy that had a sexual relationship with a dolphin, is most likely a work of farce, a put-on. It's most likely if you want to call it a hoax. You, Professor Doubter, had a similar experience, though, with your friend Mr. Bo. Now, you know, these two books are so similar, and they come so close together. And I don't know the name of the person that wrote the book Wet Goddess. How do you know they're not the same guy?
I mean, I know that they're not. I know that Mr. Bo is working on Otter Journey of Discovery, and had shown the manuscript to a number of people, some artists and writers that he know in the Northern California area, in the Portland, Oregon area, some people that he know in Salt Lake City and so forth. So I don't think that he wrote it, because, first of all, it doesn't make any sense to write a book called Otter, Journey of Self-Discovery, which is a book about, ostensibly about a sexual relationship with an animal, and then turn around and then have a similar book called Wet Goddess. He used his own name on Otter. The name on Wet Goddess is Malcolm J. Brenner. Are you looking for the name of the book?
Yeah. Is that his name?
Yeah, Malcolm J. Brenner was the author of Wet Goddess. Wet Goddess, so in other words, Wet Goddess was obviously a lift of Otter. The thing that was disappointing for me is I spent 2 years going from school to school.
I want to ask you about that, okay? Can I interrupt you for a minute?
Yeah.
You, this man's a friend of yours, and you spend 2 years, and you say $200,000 of your own money trying to tell people what a hoax this book is. Why?
Well, the reason was very simply this. What he was doing was wrong. You know, it's just wrong. And there had been, if you're going to reference the story in the Wall Street Journal, where he claimed that I was basically acting out of some level of sour grapes because of the fact that I wanted to publish a book on his claims concerning brush fires, and I was going to give him full credit. I was going to tell him, my readers that it was Mr. Bo who had come up with this theory on the static electricity and the movement of jackrabbits. Nonetheless, he went ahead with this story that I had some sour grapes or jealousy that he'd done a book on, you know, sex with an otter, and I had not yet come out with my book on wildlife.
All right, well, you know what? I'm having a difficult time understanding all the cross currents here, but let's just stick with this book. You say that you felt it was wrong. Okay. You're giving me his reasons. I just wonder about yours, you know.
Well, I mean, the fact is that, you know, I had planned on coming out with the first installment of the book the book that I was planning on doing on the jackrabbits, but then I realized he was doing this other book and felt that it was more compelling of me to do that, you know?
No, I don't know.
Well,
on the one hand, you're telling me that you wanted to stop this book from publication because it was wrong. On the other hand...
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Okay, on the other hand, you're telling me that you wanted to come out with this jackrabbit book and somehow he wanted to stop that. I don't quite understand, and that's okay, all right?
Well, no, what I'm saying is...
No, hold on. I don't want you to tell me anything. The book on the otters is what we'll concentrate on here. Whether or not there is a reason, I don't know. So...
Well, there is a reason. I mean, the reason that I'm given is that... I told you what the reason is. I think it's wrong, and that's that, you know?
And
you think it's wrong, the ulterior motive being quite possible, you know, you're angry that you were going to come out with a book on jackrabbits and he came out first with the otter book.
There's some of that, sir, yes.
Okay. You realize how all of this sounds really weird?
No, I know that. I mean, if I could roll it out in the way that I originally intended to.
No, that's what you're doing, and it still sounds real weird. But anyway, let's get back to Otter. So you have spent 2 years and $200,000.
Yes, sir. I've gone to schools. The book came out and is now is now in print and is now selling. I wouldn't say briskly, but it's selling at a fairly consistent rate. So for 2 years and $200,000, I go from town to town and village to village. And what happens, but the book comes out and people are going to read it.
How do you know that in your travels, in talking about this book, you didn't further promote it?
Well, I'll tell you this much, Mr. Henry. I don't know how I further promoted a book where I said there's a book coming out called Honor, A Journey of Discovery, where the individual claims that he had a sexual relationship with an otter, which is impossible. And if you read it, think about it. It's sex with an otter. That's sort of messed up. And then the fact that just intellectually it's impossible because otters are very, I guess you'd say they're very vicious animals. And if you try to have, that's ridiculous. You know, if you tried to have sex with an otter, it'd tear you. It would not be happy.
I don't imagine any animal would be happy. A human being attempting to have sex with it. In reading the reviews of Wet Goddess, I realized that after my initial reaction, I realized it was a con or it was a put on. I don't think it's a hoax because it's so absurd that anyone would know that it's meant to be a put on. Now, is this book Otter a put on?
Is the book Otter a put on?
Yeah.
Well, no. I mean, you're asking a question that is ridiculous. Because Mr. Bo is saying he had sex with it. I mean, I could,
All right, hold on for a minute. Let's recalibrate. Let's reboot, and we'll be back in a minute here as we talk with Professor Jeff Dowder on the book Otter, A Journey of Discovery, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL.
Phil Hendry. Patriot Hotline now, 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Welcome back to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. On the line with me here is, we got Professor Jeff Dowder from Caltech. And we are talking about an unusual story, but he has the inside on at least one facet of this. And we're discussing a book that, to me, seems like a hoax and most likely is, called Wet Goddess, a book about dolphins and a man that had, quote, a sexual relationship with one. And Professor Dowder is talking also about a book written by a friend of his, Toby Bowe, called Otter, The Inside Story. Before we take a phone call here, Professor Dowder, I don't want to confuse you or get you lost in a lot of particulars. I'm simply trying to find out the level of protest that you raised over this book. Did it have any effect?
Well, I mean, I felt that it did with a lot of people. I mean, I know Mr. Bowe, but I didn't really go into why I think Toby Bowe, why I think he's a liar or why I think he's a whatever you want to call it. I mean, all students may say the guy's a douchebag, from way back, and I'm not going to say about that. But I will say that the argument that I gave on account of the book is that there's no way you're going to have sex with an otter. And that's because otters are well known to be vicious, violent. They are a take-no-prisoners animal. They have a habitat, what they protect.
They eat clam shells. They are not clam shells, but they eat clam. They're, you know, I mean, they eat clam and everything, and they also are, I forget.
Well, they where do they live? Are you talking about saltwater?
Yeah, saltwater otter. I mean, the most common otter that I'm talking about lives in, like, Northern California.
Right, right.
Yeah, they're all off of the coast. They do eat clam. They eat, you know, clam and... I'm sort of stuck on eat clam because that's sort of a male. It's the paradigm of the male mind. You know, we go to that.
Yeah. Okay. Fine. Great. So let's get off of clam. What else do they eat?
They eat clam. Boy, that's really interesting. I want to keep saying they eat clam. They eat.
All right. I'll tell you what they eat. Don't they eat crab? Don't they eat?
Yeah, crabs. And
not yeah, crabs. As in the ones you find in the ocean.
As in the what? Yes, sir. Yes, I apologize, Mr. Henry. Yeah, and they eat, I think mostly what they do, and if you've ever seen an otter in the wild, they'll roll over on their back in the water and they'll crack the shell on their stomach or something. It's very kind of funny to see an otter eat, oh, I remember now, albacore, whatever that shellfish is. In Morro Bay, they also eat.
Well, there's been I know the California fishermen are not fans of otters any more than they're fans of sea lions because both of those creatures compete with them for...
Yeah, they do. They eat the same thing that the fishermen are trying to... and I know fishermen and otters have been going back and forth for years. It's a test of wills in a lot of ways. And the otter is not... You know, the otter knows what he's up against. And the fisherman knows what he's up against, and the otter, I think the otter in a lot of ways is more formidable, because an otter is going to say to a human, you know, I know you got a boat, and I know you have, flippers, or them frog skin, frog feet, or however you say it. And
what do you mean they know that you have a boat?
What I'm saying, not literally, but the otters, I think, are probably aware of the human and what we can do. And
all right, hold on. Let me get to a phone call here in Southgate. Mavis, hi, you're on the Phil Henry Show. We're talking with Professor Jeff Dowder this evening on the otter, this book called Otter, A Journey of Discovery. Go ahead, Mavis.
You know, I'm listening to this gentleman on the radio, speaking to Mr. Henry. And first of all, I want to say I love your program very much. Thank you for having me.
You're welcome.
Yes, sir. Your name is Mr. Dowder, right?
Yes, ma'am, Jeff Dowder.
I've always loved stories about, you know, going to the ocean and everything. I've been down the ocean ever since I was a little girl. My father was a commercial fisherman.
Yes, ma'am.
And I grew up in South Carolina. And so we have a great many people who are people who make their living off the ocean.
Yes, ma'am.
And I have never in my life seen a man... go out and put it to an otter or anything. I don't know how you want to say it, but I have never seen a man do an otter take an otter.
Talk about taking order?
Well, I'm talking about taking on an otter.
Taking on an otter?
Yes, sir.
Oh. Well, I mean, I don't know, man. I agree with you.
But you agree with me. Have you written a book? Or you wrote a book about you put an otter... You took an otter, or you took an otter out. I didn't know what you did.
No, ma'am. My friend Toby Bowles.
No, his friend, Mavis, this is Phil.
Yeah.
His friend wrote the book, and it's to that that we are addressing ourselves. Mr. Dowder did not.
All right. Well, then I apologize, sir. I want to say that I hope you do very well with your... If you're talking about a man that wrote a book about putting it to an otter...
Yes, he did, ma'am. Yes, he did. But he also, I have to, in his defense, say that in his book, okay, he said that the otter was open to it.
You're saying an otter that was consensual with otter?
Yes, ma'am.
I can tell you that I have never heard of that. I have never heard of that.
You've never heard of that?
Well, no, I don't think anybody has.
I've never heard of that. That's almost devil. You know what I think? I think that is the devil. Oh, no, that's the devil. And anyone say they want to have it out with an otter, were they going to put it to an honor, or were they going to on Friday night?
Man, I can't understand.
Hold on, Phil. I want to tell you that we had had a song. Whoa, Lord, is the devil, devil. Whoa, Lord, is the devil time.
Oh, okay, are you singing? Is this a song?
Oh, hold on, hold on. Whoa, Lord, is the devil, devil. Whoa, Lord, is the devil time. I'm doing what I ought to. Doing what the Lord tell me to do. But I'll never do an order, because that's not what the Lord want me to do. Whoa, Lord, is the devil, is the devil. Devil is the devil time. Whoa, Lord, is the devil, devil. Devil is the devil time. Went to the store and I bought her. Brand new dress looked good. But I never, never, never did an order. Never, never, never would. Whoa, Lord.
All right, can we hold on for a minute?
Whoa, Lord.
Hold on, hold on, okay.
That is a song that I've done. It's called I'm Doing What I Order.
You did an order?
No, you dumbass. I said I
done. To do what you order. I can't understand what she's saying to her. I'm sorry. And
she said she's doing what she oughta.
Dude, that's like a Boston accent or something.
Oh my God, I hate you. You are dumber than my nephew. You know that? A Boston accent.
Doing a Boston accent? That's to do an order. Never gonna do an order.
You know what I'd like to do? I'd like to do an order. Do what I order. Then I'd like to come down and audit you. What'd you think of that?
You can't audit me. There's nothing that I'm hiding. Yeah, probably you married an order.
What?
I said probably you married an order. What do you say? I don't understand.
Well, hold on for a minute.
I said you probably married an order.
Robert, he can't hear you. Robert, quit trying to be a stand-up comic and doing all the funny, everything you heard Horatio's fans doing everything.
Oh, I'm doing it.
What?
God, I'm going to kick your ass. Yeah.
All right, thank you very much, Mavis.
Well, that song I done.
All right, 877-876-PHIL. What is that, bud?
Yeah, I want to get the credit.
Okay, the song that you just heard, Doing What I Oughta, written by Mavis Leonard. It's a spiritual that she does at her church every Sunday, Joyful Union Congregation in Bellflower. So if you hear that song, Mavis wrote it. Jeff Dowder with us as we continue talking. 877-876-PHIL. So bottom line, Jeff, it's aberrant.
What, that old lady? Or
no, not the old lady. I'm talking. She's hung. We hung up on her.
Oh yeah, no, it is. I mean, if you're talking about sex with an otter, yeah, it's completely aberrant because, look, Toby Bo, I've known my whole life. I've known since we was little. We used to skateboard. We boogie boarded. We learned to surf together. We've been to every major surfing competition on the West Coast, starting from 1995 right on to now. Okay? I mean, that's serious. We hung together, we lived together in Mid Canyon. We had the same girlfriend for like an overlapping time. It was his girlfriend, then she was with both of us, which neither one of us knew, and then me, and then I eventually married her. And I would never think that he would write a book like this until I saw the gleam in his eye when I talked about Wet Goddess and his memory started skipping back to the time of the otter.
So you think he's serious?
Yes, sir, I do. Yes, sir, I do. I know that the Wet Goddess. I know that is a joke, but I think time of the otter.
No, it's called otter.
Yeah, it's otter time of the season.
Otter, a journey of discovery.
Otter, a journey of discovery. I thought it was otter time of the season. You sure?
I didn't write it, man. I didn't write it, okay? 877-876-PHIL. Here is Lloyd. Go ahead, Lloyd. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
This is a question directed to the Caltech professor. Yes, sir. And this is the Caltech professor.
Yes, sir. This is Professor Dowder, sir.
Okay. All right, let's get down to it. Let's get down to it, all right?
Okay.
You say you've got this monkey that, this turkey is a friend of yours.
I got a monkey?
This turkey that's a friend of yours.
Yes, sir.
He wrote a book about a relationship he had
with a high river mammal. Is that right? Well, the what? You know.
What do you mean high river mammal?
That is what a otter is known as. It's a high river, higher California otter or mammal. Oh, yes, sir. I mean, he never called it that, but yeah. All right. I happen to know a little something about it. I happen to know because I'm missing part of my hand today. And the reason why is because I tried to shake hands with one of these things once. And why did I try to do that? Because I saw these otters laying in water, and they were holding hands, and it was very cute. And I wanted to hold an otter's hand. I was fooled by how cute they were. I went to shake hands with it. Well, let me tell you what. There's an old saying, when you shake hands with so-and-so, count your fingers. I never thought it was true until I...
Till you shook hands with an otter, huh?
Until I shook hands with an otter. Well, sir, if I were you, I'd consider myself lucky because my friend Toby Bohm, I hate to think what he's missing today. He tried to have one as his spouse. Well, that's what I was going to say. That's why I think it's a load. Because this guy, Bo, this man, yes, sir, would have to have been missing something pretty significant for him to have been with an otter. Well, I mean,
Well, that's an easy enough thing to check.
That's exactly what I was going to say. Not going to get me. What, do you want me to go up there and do a pants check? No way.
Well, no, not you, but I mean, you could easily have a doctor or somebody check.
Well...
You're going to find out pretty seriously, man, whether that guy has written a book that is a hoax himself. I tried to shake hands with an otter. 877-876-PHIL. We'll be right back on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, talking here with Professor Jeff Dowder on the book Otter, Journey of Discovery. The book Wet Goddess is a Hoax. Is Otter a Hoax? We'll be right back. World-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Radio. For Patriots, by Patriots. It's the Phil Hendry Show. Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
World famous Phil Hendry Show here. 877-876-PHIL. And we're talking with Jeff Dowder about the book Otter, which I think we can probably say at this point is a hoax and is not a... is not the real deal, because you haven't done, you know, when we say due diligence, Dr. Dowder, we ain't just whistling Dixie around here, you know. We mean due diligence means, you know, you have to sort of look into the veracity, you know.
Well, if you say looking into the veracity, Mr. Henry, you know, I would say to you that Mr. Bo has been a friend of mine for a long time, and he has always... been very forthcoming with me and has never not been honest with me. So if he said that he had a relationship with an otter, I would believe him. Now, the reason why I went and spent 2 years saying that I believed it was not true was for the very reasons you put here tonight. You know, an otter is going to tear you up. You know,
yeah, and I understand, but when the lady called and some other people were talking to you about this, the gentleman, in fact, who just called, you were a little confused when they said, well, this guy's been putting you on. When did you really believe that this was, I should ask you this question, when you believed this was a hoax, what was the reason you believed it was a hoax? That the otter would tear you apart, or because this guy owed you money, or he owed you money on a book? What exactly prompted you to say, eventually, you believe this book to be a hoax? What made you believe the book was a hoax? Because when we first started here, you said you thought it was a hoax, but this guy owed you, this guy was doing something concerning a jackrabbit. I don't know what you were saying.
No, that was about the jackrabbit.
Okay, fine. The Jackrabbit Causing Forest Fires was a book you wanted to write, and this guy preempted you with his book on otters.
That is correct, yeah.
So you made it sound like you were jealous.
Well, I'm not jealous. You know, I mean, you use the word sour grapes, you know, and...
Yeah, that's exactly what I said. Sour grapes, jealousy, whatever you want to call it.
Well, you know, and in a lot of ways it was sour grapes, but... Yeah, I can't say to you that I can't say to you that I thought immediately that he had a what do you call that he was that it was impossible because his an otter would rip you up, you know.
Yeah, I know, but when the gentleman called and said it's easy enough to check,
yeah,
you hadn't done it.
Well, I'm not going to go to the guy's house and say, "Excuse me, would you drop your pants?" So I can see whether you got one or not. I mean,
no, but if you're writing a book, you could have some doctor check this, or he could some other way of independently verifying this, and you didn't.
No, I did not, Mr. Andrew. You know, I plead guilty. Okay, I'm not all that eager to see, see a guy take his pants off. If you'll pardon me, you know.
That's not what we're talking about. So you believe this never happened?
I don't think it ever happened. The dolphin story, I don't know anything about. And as far as the jackrabbits go, you know, starting forest fires, I do intend to write that book because I do believe it happened. And I do believe it's a part of how the fires are started and the people and the thing and everyone gets burned, you know, it's all burned up. You know?
So you believe that, and that's something Mr. Bo told you, but you don't believe the otter story.
I do not believe the otter story, no.
But you believe the jackrabbit story.
Yes, I do. I do believe the jackrabbit story, yeah.
Okay, the jackrabbit's running through high weeds with static electricity.
With static electricity can cause brush fires that do go into forest fires. Yes, I do.
You do believe that?
Yes, sir, because to me it's very plausible, and it doesn't necessitate somebody having, you know, sex with a mammal that's well known to want to tear into you. That'd be like saying, "Yeah, I had a sexual relationship with a cougar, or not a lady."
No, I know what you mean—a mountain lion.
Yeah, yeah. For a year I had a sexual relationship with a shark. Yeah, sure. Yeah, I mean, some people, you know, they think you're going to believe anything, and they play you, you know.
Well, I would respectfully submit to you that your friend's playing you on that jackrabbit story. As logical as that may sound...
Well, if you think about it, it can happen.
As logical as that may sound, I think it's very bizarre. I think it's something cooked up. What evidence is there for that?
If you think about it...
No, not if I don't think about it. What evidence is there that jackrabbits start fires by running through the weeds?
It explains how they done it.
No, it... All right, thank you very much. Our News and Information Hour. It couldn't come too fast tonight on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Think about it, man.
Phil Hendry. The Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
No.
I'm hearing every time I... What are you doing now? Are we on the air?
We're on the air now, yeah.
Look, and I'm watching this thing on TV. You're telling on the level. Why don't you give it a rest, okay?
I'm just trying to say that I can't hear...
I know what you can't hear. Everybody in the world knows what you can't hear. You know what I think? I think you need a hearing test. I really do.
Why?
Because every day with you, it's level. You don't know whether or not the EQ's right on this source. You don't know whether or not your microphone's hot enough. You don't know whether or not the phone calls are hot enough. Every day with you. You're driving me nuts?
All I wanted to know...
All you wanted to know is if you can drive somebody nuts with your level... Levels. You're just going to have to trust what the guys are doing up there and shut up!
David.
Shut up!
Poof!
Boy, he sounded like a lady.
Yeah. He did sound like a lady. You're right. All right, sorry.
Yeah, just give it a rest, man.
Yeah, okay, thanks, bud. I'll give it a rest.
Well, you know, I mean, they got a point. You call a level, you know, a level don't sound right. I got a better level. You've been talking about level for 4 or 5 years. The level ain't going to be right now. It ain't never going to be right.
Yeah, I heard that. Word up to your word up to your mom.
Word up to my mom. Welcome back to the show. Technical discussion, folks. Our number 877-876-PHIL. And, of course, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show is online at philhendryshow.com. That's philhendryshow.com. And we're also, everything, man. We got our podcasts daily. We are the fifth most listened to radio show. We're the fifth most recorded radio show on Dar FM. Now, the reason why I bring that up, we're an overnight show. We're just this humble little radio show. Very humble, very small. We don't ask much of the world. We just come in and do our thing and we leave. And we take whatever small gratuity is offered. We put our tambourine out there on the street and we say, alms for the poor, sir, and people, you know, drop a few coins in as we do our dance.
Yeah, you're the organ grinder and Bud's the monkey.
You're the monkey?
Hey, do that, Bud.
Well, you called me a monkey.
Yeah, you called me a monkey? Is that what you're doing?
He didn't mean it like that. Come on. Why don't you just shut up? I've told you guys a million times, I'll do the talking. So, our little humble radio show here, people seek out and record. Now, why do I say that? Well, I say that for this reason. The guy that started Dar FM, I think that's what it's called, didn't start it because he loves the human race. He didn't start it because he just feels all warm and fuzzy inside for radio listeners and wants to offer them radio shows that they can record and they can listen to, and he's just going to feel real groovy about it. This guy started Dar FM so he can tear that dollar bill in half. This is what I keep talking about. Now, understand this, folks, and this is America's economy. These radio shows that this man is carrying on his service are owned by people. They're either owned by the artist, they're either owned by the company, they're either owned by the radio station, but they're owned by somebody. And this guy has taken all of these signals, and he offers them through his brokerage, if you will, to listeners to record. Now you say, well, he's not violating anybody's copyright, Phil. I mean, these are already owned and there's advertising in them. That's true. What he's done is just provided a central location, if you will, so you can scan all of these shows that you can listen to, and you will hear the feed. You are hearing the actual feed. You're getting the commercials, the promotional statements, the promotional announcements, I should say, and so forth. And one of those shows is mine. Now, I ain't got no dog in this hunt, but because I have a website and I have an agreement with my company, they hold the primary rights to my show, but we do have an agreement that we will provide a podcast. Now, this guy over at Dar FM is making money somehow. Either he is advertising on his website, either he is putting commercials into the actual web streams themselves, but he's doing something that alters the presentation of my show and a lot of people's shows so that he can make money. You understand? There's only one other way that this guy could be making money. Only one other way, and that is that the stations or the holders of the primary rights to these broadcasts are allowing him, or paying him maybe, to carry these things. That's very unlikely. It would be more likely if he was paying them so he could pull these signals in. And he may be. He may be. And he may be selling advertising. But what I'm telling you is the following thing. You've got one product. The product has not been enhanced. There's not more radio shows created because of this guy. There's not more money being made by the talent. This is just simply one more slob that gets to tear the dollar bill in half and pretend like he's just made $2. You probably could care less, and that's good, because I'd rather it be my problem than yours. But be advised, ladies and gentlemen, if it's happening in my business, it's going to happen in yours. And if it hasn't already, because that's the name of the game in America today, until someone stops these people. I have nothing against making my show more available to listeners. I want that to happen. But I damn sure am not going to make my show available to people who get to make more money off of it. And I don't. That isn't going to happen. In a million years, it's not going to happen. So we're going to take steps on this radio show to stop that from happening. And I'm talking directly to Dar FM. I'm going to take steps so that if I can't stop you from doing what you're doing, you're going to pay me, or I have a couple of other ideas that, quite frankly, my listeners are going to like. They're going to like a lot. And my company is going to like a lot. What I'm going to do is take a step to cut you, Mr. Dar FM, right out of the process. So I'm not going to do anything. I'm not going to sue you or anything. None of that. I'm going to take a good old-fashioned free enterprise step to cut you completely out of the process. And that announcement will be forthcoming on this here Phil Hendry show. I don't mean to be in any kind of a bad mood or be hostile to the guy, but you know what? Facts are facts and business is business, folks. You know, like the Corleones used to say, this is business, it ain't personal. You don't just come walking along, you know, singing a song. Oh, look at this. I think I'll just grab this and I think I'll sell it and make money. No. We're not playing that anymore, man. You're either going to get the word the easy way or the hard way, but you're going to get it. There's no other business in America that has to deal with this, by the way. No other business that I've ever heard of in America that has to deal with a merchant or a craftsman or a creator or an inventor or anybody that has to stand and deal with someone stealing from them every day and having people standing there staring at it and going, well, we're not sure we know what to do about it. Well, you know, the law's fuzzy. Law's fuzzy, huh? Let me tell you something, man. If I take a baseball bat and I bust in a store window and I grab stuff out of that store, law ain't fuzzy on that. The law's not fuzzy on that. If I bust in somebody's front door one night and I steal everything in their house and I leave, you think the law's fuzzy? Well, it ain't fuzzy when it comes to the ownership of a radio show or a book or a movie or a song, or anything else. And you know, I really want to thank the U.S. Pirate Party. We had some conversation with the U.S. Pirate Party on Twitter. The U.S. Pirate Party is affiliated with the International Pirate Party. These are people who want to redefine. They don't want to do away with copyright. They don't want to do away with an artist's rights at all. That's not what they're about. And I talked with them about it. They want to streamline the process so that we are protected, and at the same time, the consumer is not put in jeopardy because he wants music or a radio show. So the U.S. Pirate Party, the International Pirate Party, I've become a big fan of and a big supporter of. They openly defended me on Twitter. They defended me to some scumbags that had been communicating with them about how they like ripping Phil Hendry off. And they said to them quite pointedly, you know what? Take a hike, man. That's not what we're about. We support Phil Hendry. We don't support you. So we're big fans of the U.S. Pirate Party and the International Pirate Party, and to the extent that they adhere to that philosophy. And the rest of you slobs, I guess you're fresh out of friends over there, huh? Fresh out of friends, man.
Fletch out your headgear, new guy.
That's right. All right, coming up, we have some fantastic news about cantaloupe listeria. Now, I mentioned this to Bud, and you thought I was talking about Listerine, right?
Yeah.
It's not Listerine. Listeria is a terrible, terrible infectious outbreak, and we're going to talk about this. And
well, they call it Listeria and Listerine.
Well, I've got a very interesting story about that. The man's name is Joseph Lister. He was a scientist. He's a man that discovered, along with Louis Pasteur and others, the existence of bacteria and what to do about it, what to do about the existence of these infectious bacteria. So we'll be back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show in a moment to tell you about that story and other stories here in our news and information hour on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Radio for patriots by patriots. It's the Phil Hendry Show. Phil Hendry Show.
World famous Phil Hendry Show, and we're here every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. News, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. We're going to be, what was I? Oh, yeah, I got to move crap tomorrow. God.
Yeah, why are you doing that?
Because I've had stuff in storage for 5 years, and I got to get that garbage out of there, and I got to get it out of there by the end of the month, and that's just all there is to it. I'm sick and tired of it being in there.
Why are you doing it now?
Because it's the end of the month, man. It's the end of the month. You know what? I would like nothing better. They can have it, man. They can take that garbage and stick it. I don't care.
You got anything in there that's worth anything?
I don't know, man. There's like a big king-size mattress. I could care less. There's a big-ass stupid bed. A big stupid bed. And there are other ridiculous things. I just don't know, man. I can't keep paying for this storage, man. It's going to be 5 years coming up in the spring. And I think she told me, the lady at the storage place, she said people there have had it for 10 years. So tomorrow, and you would have, trying to get a U-Haul truck. Unbelievable, man, trying to rent a U-Haul truck today. Oh, well, we're out. Oh, well, the closest place is in Simi Valley. All of this bull crap. You know, and I finally said, what do you mean the closest is in Simi Valley, man? Come on. And I finally found one that was a lot closer. The lady couldn't figure out how to make my order go through. And then I actually had to tell her, I think you need to put my email address in there. I understand that it's confusing, you know, and life can be a very confusing thing. But we're in the middle of a recession here. Now, I know that you guys at U-Haul, you probably are not close to going out of business. I mean, you've been around for a long time, but just remember, times are tough. Money is scarce. And I don't want to see you guys get shoved out of business because somebody came along and thought of doing what you do in a lot easier and friendlier and smarter way and a lot cheaper. And the next thing you know, U-Haul goes the way of who, you know? Woolworths? All right, 877-876-PHIL, and let's see. All right, this is the story of that I was telling you guys about. Health officials say as many as 16 people have died from possible listeria illnesses traced to Colorado cantaloupes, the deadliest food outbreak in more than a decade.
These are cantaloupes that come from Colorado?
I guess, yeah. The outbreak has been traced to Jensen Farms in Holly, Colorado, which recalled the tainted cantaloupes earlier this month. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention said Tuesday 72 illnesses, including 13 deaths, good Lord, are linked to the tainted fruit. State and local officials say they are investigating 3 additional deaths that may be connected. The death toll released by the CDC on Tuesday included newly confirmed deaths in Kansas, Missouri, Nebraska, and Tejas, surpassed the number of deaths linked to an outbreak of salmonella in peanuts. Almost 3 years ago, 9 people died in that outbreak, so this is a much deadlier. Now, listeria is more deadly than well-known pathogens like salmonella and E. coli, though those outbreaks generally cause many more illnesses. 21 people died in an outbreak of listeria poisoning in 1998, traced to contaminated hot dogs and possibly deli meats made by Bymar Foods, a subsidiary of Sara Lee. Another large listeria outbreak in 1985 killed 52 people and was linked to Mexican-style soft cheese. I remember that.
What happened?
I remember that one because I happen to like Mexican-style jalapeno, like Monterey Jack cheese, and I remember when they came out with the announcement that people were dropping like flies. As the result of that, I put my finger down my throat and and threw. I'm kidding.
Did you really?
No, I'm joking. But
sure. Well, did you or didn't you?
I didn't. I'm sure. Oh my God! I just had Mexican sub. No, but I do like that kind of that Monterey Jack cheese.
Yeah, I know you do. You put it like you put it on hamburger.
I do. Yeah, I love it, man. And I like the jalapeno kind. You know, the spicy kind. Those are good. And I think that's what I was eating back in those days. But anyway, Listeria generally only sickens the elderly. Listeria generally only sickens the elderly, pregnant women, and others with compromised immune systems. The CDC said the median age of those sickened is 78 and that 1 in 5 who contract the disease can die. Okay, so we now know that this is 1 in 5 is 20%, so that's a particularly deadly disease for elderly people. Unlike many pathogens, Listeria bacteria can grow at room temperature and even refrigerator temperatures. That is, you see... So just putting something in the refrigerator, man, it may not be enough. The FDA and the CDC recommend anyone who may have one of the contaminated cantaloupes throw it out immediately and clean and sanitize any surfaces it may have touched, or go ahead and chop it up and put it into a fruit salad, and you'll just, I'm kidding. About 800 cases of Listeria are found in the United States each year, according to the CDC, and there usually are 3 or 4 outbreaks. Wow. Many of these are traced to deli meat and soft cheese. Here we go again with that... What's with soft cheese?
Maybe, I don't know.
Comes out of a cow.
Yes, it does. Now, you were asking me about Listerine, bud?
Yeah.
Well, Joseph Lister, and forgive me, I'm not that, I forget exactly, but Joseph Lister was a scientist, and a scientist that we should have a great debt of thanks to give to. Because along with Louis Pasteur and some of these great scientists, they broke open a whole new world for us. Up to that point, we didn't have any idea that there was such a thing as infection. We didn't quite know what was causing, for instance, gangrene in soldiers in the Civil War who'd been operated on. The doctors in those days didn't sanitize anything. They had no idea that the filthy instruments they were using were causing these infections that were killing these men. In fact, most of the surgeries that they performed, most of those men died. It was like, I think, 1 in 10 survived surgery during those terrible days. And in the years that succeeded, it wasn't until, a variety of people, Joseph Lister, one of them, Florence Nightingale, the famous nurse, she said, throw open the windows, let's get some air in this place, man. It stinks like a sewer in here.
She really say that?
I don't know. It would have been cool if she did, though. You know?
Yeah, Florence Nightingale. I'm sure she's going to go coming in.
Yeah, I would have loved Florence Nightingale walking into the room. Boy, it stinks like an outhouse in this dump. Open it up! And Joseph Lister. Now, here's an interesting story. You know Listerine, right, bud?
Yeah.
They never got permission from the Lister family.
What, they're using his name without permission, huh?
They're using his name. They used his name. I don't know what's happened since. But when Listerine first came out, and this was at the turn of the 20th century, long time ago, they decided, let's just call it Listerine. That's what I'm talking about. Joseph Lister's family was not consulted in the least. Now, I don't know what's happened in the intervening years, if any of Joseph Lister's descendants have said, hey, whoa, there's sunshine. Whoa there, kitty cat. You pretty nosy fella, huh, kitty cat? You know what happens to nosy fellas? Yes? No? You want to guess? Yes? No? Okay. They lose their noses.
Ow!
That's what they should have done with the Listerine people. Whoa, that kitty cat. All right, we'll be right back with more on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. More what, I don't know, but
pretty good, man.
For Patriots, by Patriots. Phil, it's the Phil Hendry Show. World-famous Phil Hendry Show.
World-famous Phil Hendry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news talk and entertainment show that knows what the hell it's talking about. And we're online at philhendryshow.com, and you can take a look at our live streaming video. And every night it's an adventure, and who knows? And anyway, and I had a lot of fun, and it's great.
Take it easy, Mr. Henry.
I'll be okay. Anyway, come on over to Phil Henry Show. Come on over to philhenryshow.com and see what you've been missing. I'm sorry.
Yeah, man, you do that off the air, man. Do it on the air.
Excuse me. Excuse me, okay? You, what do you want to do? Just sue me? It's been a long, hard struggle to get to where I am today. Anyway, so join us at philhenryshow.com at a backstage pass. You see live streaming video of the show right now. For instance, we're online here. And there is the beautiful El Pacifico behind me. This is where we broadcast from each and every night. It's a gorgeous look at our beautiful Pacific Ocean with the sun, the beautiful oranges and the blues, the hues, the reds, the... it's a green screen. Anyway, we also have thousands of hours of archive material. And like I said, we are planning something very special for you, our listeners, for those of you who are our backstage pass holders, and also for those of you just regular listeners of the radio show, we have something planned for you. Now, understand, if you are a backstage pass holder, you are in the best possible position of anyone because you have unlimited access to our website. And those of you who are holding backstage passes today, or if you're planning on getting one anytime before October the 1st, or if you've had one since 1999, and I know a lot of those people, great people, well, you are a part of the first generation of Phil Henry Show BSPs, because as of October the 1st, our price goes up. It's not going up a lot, but we had to do it, folks. We have not raised the price in 12 years. 12, count them. 1999, when this website first went on the air, October of 1999, if I'm not mistaken. And it'll be the 12th anniversary of a price that has never been hiked. So I'm sure those of you who are in business understand and will not begrudge that move. You will get, believe me, you will get for the money that you pay stuff that is well worth it. Thousands of hours of archive material that as a backstage pass holder you can download. That's right. You own that. You can have it. You don't own it. You're not allowed to. Well, you know. Anyway, also our videocast archive, also our daily podcast, and other little goodies. We have archive material, not only audio, but video as well. Interviews, television appearances, and every now and again, Phil gives you a little tour off the air via our Phil TV and HD. We do some rants there. We'll talk about things. So join us and become a part of our BSP family. Now, Michael Moore was on Piers Morgan. Now, you know, if you've listened to me for any length of time, you know what I think of Michael Moore. I felt that Michael Moore is a disingenuous propagandist. Other than that, he's probably a sweet guy, but he is, seriously, he is a disingenuous propagandist. He is a man whose views and opinions and political philosophies shift with the winds, as it appears to be, anyway. But I got to tell you something. For the first time in my life, I find myself more in agreement with him on something than in disagreement. Now, something has to be said here. There are a great many of us, and I know that there are a great many listening to me right now, who feel, and rightfully so, that free enterprise, capitalism, is the purest way for a human being to succeed and to have the things in life that that individual wants. In other words, to find the means to happiness. The sweat of your own brow, the profiting from what you create and what you produce in friendly competition with your fellows, protected by a benevolent democratic umbrella. This is America. But something has changed in our, not our system so much as our attitude and the way that we look at making money. And I have to tell you, for the very first time, I got to agree with this fat slob Moore, and I say that with all due respect.
Gee, that with all due respect on account of your fat.
Is that right, bud? Well, who asked you, man? And guess what? I ain't as fat as him. There ain't no way I'm as big as... There's nobody bigger than that guy. No one.
Yeah, figuratively and literally.
Exactly. Something is shifting, and it's weird. You know, the human race, we've always been taught, will always find the best way, the most expedient way, the most inexpensive way, perhaps, but the way of excellence. That we always, after we sort of do this king of the hill climbing on top of one another. I mean, you know, that is the nature of competition, that we find the excellence in ourselves. We find the excellence in our efforts. That's not happened yet in the current state of our economy. What has happened instead is because we as consumers want things to be affordable. Because it's harder and harder for millions and millions of us to compete for a good income or maybe the kind of income that we would like, we need to have things affordable. And from that has come the need to produce things at a less expensive, you know, rate so that those prices can be delivered to us. The person that makes it has to find a way to make it cheaper so that the American consumer can have what he wants by way of his demand for a lower price. And that means, of course, that very same worker who wants a lower price on a product is forced to take a lower wage because production costs must be dropped until eventually the production costs must be dropped so far the company moves to another country where they can pay some foreign laborer a dollar a day. Now, no, I'm not blaming this all on the American consumer. Hold on. Hold the phone. Something happened, I don't know when, and there are smarter people than me that can figure this out. Something happened in this process of finding a way to make the producing of goods and services less expensive so that the American consumer can be satisfied with the price. Something happened to the capitalist, to the inventor, to the creator, where he said, you know what? I can't do this anymore. I can't make money the way I want to make money and produce these products and these goods and these services as I've produced them. I need to sell my company. I need to get out of the business that I'm in. I need to find another way to make money. So what happened? Suddenly a generation of these kinds of people sprung up. And they were no longer interested in owning companies or owning the means by which these goods, these services, this hardware, this software could be produced. Now, what they wanted to do was buy things like companies or an interest or a share or a bunch of shares or a position that they could maximize their investment that way and suddenly make a little bit more money, and then they sell off that position as opposed to selling that company, which was making stuff. Now they're selling shares, which owns part of something that may make stuff. We don't know. Now we're getting further and further and further away from creating things. Now we're just in the business of tearing a dollar bill in half and making it into two. That's what we're doing more and more of. Some people call that capitalism. I guess Moore, in an interview with Piers Morgan, says that that's not capitalism the way we knew capitalism. Now, I'm going to listen to him. Now, understand, I haven't heard this audio, and what I'm about to hear may piss me off. But what would the Bud, will you turn off iTunes, man? I don't need to hear any more of the whatever it was you were playing.
Doors.
Whatever. Here's Fats. I mean, here is Michael Moore and Piers Morgan.
Tell me about capitalism, though. Yeah. Is capitalism in itself wrong? And the reason I ask you that, you're a very, very successful, very rich filmmaker, apart from everything else you do. In a way, that is capitalism. I mean, you've got a business.
Is it really?
You have a company. Well, isn't it in its purest sense, isn't it?
What pure? There's nothing pure about capitalism.
Is it not, though?
It's not capitalism. That's...
Okay, well, I didn't. That was nothing. That was a lousy piece of sound. Let's see if it gets better here.
We are in an economic crisis.
What the? Sorry. Michael Moore. Oh, here he is. We only have one cut? I thought I had three cuts of Michael Moore.
I don't know.
It says, tell me about capitalism. Moore explains that capitalism in its current sense isn't like it used to be. If people worked hard and succeeded, then everyone else prospered. Capitalism went wrong because people aren't paid to create or invent things, but are now rewarded for moving money around, making money off of money. Well, yeah, so he says exactly what it is that I was saying to you guys. Good, I'm glad he understands. So the creation of wealth, in other words, is not making something to sell to the public. The creation of wealth is about, it's about investing in a company that makes something to, you know, sell to the public, or investing in a company that owns another company that makes something to give or sell to the public, or investing in a company that owns the bank that gives the money to another company that spreads that money around to companies that may or may not make things to sell to the public. You see what I'm saying? You see where I'm going with this, huh? Or buying bonds on a debt that is owed to an entity that gave money to another entity that decided to have a position in a company that is going bankrupt, that a bank took over, that maybe someday will sell things to people. You see, we're getting further and further and further removed from the actual process of making stuff. And this is why, if I'm an honest man, and I think I am, I have to listen to a guy like Michael Moore, and I have to say, the cat's right. Now, this other hooey about, I'm not a capitalist, get out of here, Moore. I'll give you this. I don't know why you shy away from it, Moore. You make movies, people pay, they go see them. That's an honest trade. I mean, your movies suck, but that's just my opinion. That doesn't mean anything. The fact is, people want to go see his flicks, and he charges them money, and they walk into the theater, and they sit on their ass, and they watch it, and they go, wow, I really dug that. And maybe they even get the DVD, and maybe they even rent it. And that is about as direct a business as you can have. Hi, I have a movie. Want to buy it? Sure. Bang. Good. That's about as honest a business. And you guys are involved in that kind of, not entertainment necessarily, but you have something and you sell it. That is an honest enterprise. But the further and further away from that that we get, where we're no longer owning a company that says, hi, I have something. Want to buy it? Yes, I do. Oh, great. And you make it so well, I want to buy another one. Thank you. And you have more and more customers. And that's what we all learned was American. Something has changed now. Now we are getting further and further and further and further away from that. Now it's about, I've got a share in a company. And that company owns a bunch of companies. Well, what kind of a company is that? I don't know. It's called a holding company. Or it's called, enterprises. And all of the companies that it owns, it looks at, are they making money? Are they making money? We don't know. And what are those? Well, some may be banks and some may be something else. Some may be companies that don't create anything either. They own other companies. And some may be companies that create things or not. But they don't create them fast enough. They don't create them big enough. They don't create them at the rate that the shareholder wants them to create them at. Maybe they make a great product, but they charge too much. So they got to cut the cost. They got to cut the production cost because they want to make more money way, way, way up the chain there at the shareholders meeting of the company that owns all the companies, that owns the company that makes the product that is a pretty good product, but they charge too much. What's the answer? Fire people! Put people on the street. Don't make a better product. Whatever you do, don't do that. Bottom line, bottom line, bottom line, bottom line. So, my old man was a salesman, which is about as capitalist as it gets. My father went out every day, and he sold things, and he made a damn good living. He was very good. My dad had the gift of bullcrap. All of us Irish guys do. I took the gift of bullcrap, and I decided to put it on the radio. My father, he went out, he sold. Who knows what my progeny or, people that call themselves Henry may do in the next succeeding generations. I have no idea. Maybe they'll become preachers. Maybe they'll go to jail. I don't know. But fact is, the things that you and I know as being American, which is I'm going to my business today to work hard to sell or to push a product or the fruits of my labor to see if my customers will buy it. And if not, what can I do better to make it more saleable? That is becoming a rare thing. And the people that do that are you and I. We're just the small business people. And the big companies are not engaged in that work anymore. That's why, folks, about 10 years ago, if I saw this Occupy Wall Street demonstration, I would say, oh, get a job. Not anymore. You see, that Occupy Wall Street demonstration, they're not going to shut Wall Street down. They're not going to change the fundamental way that America does business. They're not going to change America. But what they are going to do is what any good demonstration, any good protest, public protest of policy or life or culture or society does. They're going to put a thought maybe deep into the heads of the people they're protesting. Maybe they will influence, or maybe they'll change somebody's mind, or maybe they'll just get so pissed off, which is where I'm at right now, that we will get some changes, fundamental changes in the way that business is done, so we get back to making stuff again. And not this game, this just vortex that we seem to be swirling in. And when I say vortex, the thing that comes to mind is a toilet. Just around and around and around and around we go. And the money just keeps swirling up instead of down. And it's going to higher and bigger and more complex and larger companies with people and vice presidents. And those guys way at the tippy top, they wouldn't know how to actually create something for a consumer, just a guy in the street. They wouldn't know how to do that any more than they'd know how to levitate. They don't know what that is. They're so far removed from that. Maybe once upon a time, that's what they did. You and I are doing it, though. You and I are doing it. And less and less do we find a market. And if we do, we make less and less dollars at the market that we find, because there's some guy finding a way to exploit a company's struggles so that he can make money by buying that company, breaking it apart, selling off pieces, or firing a bunch of people, quote-unquote streamlining it, not making it any better, just making it more efficient at shoving the cash up the chimney. That's what's happening. Folks, this is coming from a real conservative here. When it comes to economics, I'm real conservative. I want to do what makes sense. People say, you in favor of public health, Phil? If it is something that can save this country economically over the next 10 years, you better believe I am. You think I'm stupid? You think I'm a guy that's going to sit here and say no to a good idea? And I don't need just a bunch of chumps on a talk show to tell me whether something's a good idea or a bad idea. I'm going to look at it myself. We'll be right back. I'm way late for the break. The Phil Hendry Show.
Call the Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445. World-famous Phil Hendry Show.
World-famous Phil Hendry Show here every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, and a news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what the hell it's talking about. Welcome to the program. And again, what I said earlier, what I said in the last segment about, you know, I'm not a raging commie.
You mean comedy?
No, commie. I'm not a commie.
Yeah, a lot of people would worry about that.
Well, I'm sorry, P. I'm not a commie. My thing is, and it's always going to be, about what's the best way to get something done. It's a stupid way, folks. This is just the dumbest thing in the world to say, I'm not going to do it that way. Why? Because doing it that way is your mother's way. And I'm not going to do it your mother's way. Like when you were a kid, what if you heard your dad say that? What do you mean? What does that mean, Dad? I don't do it your mother's way. I always do it my way. Yeah, but mom's way is a good way. How dare you say that? My way. See, there's no discussion objectively as to what is the good way, what is the best way, what's the most proficient way. We're just saying my way or mom's way or your uncle's way. Well, what the hell are you talking about, man? I thought we just wanted to get it done. Well, yes, we do want to get it done, and my way is the best way. Well, wait a second. We haven't even tried mom's way. I don't want to try mom's way because her way, you know. So that's what we're dealing with. I'm just interested in whatever the good way is, man. Let's do that good way. All right. We'll be back tomorrow night, or tonight, I should say. It's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, produced by, tonight, Don Naylor and Fred Scotty, as well as Chris Johnson. This is Phil Hendry, and we will see you again tonight. Don't forget, philhendryshow.com for your backstage pass. Become a first-generation member of the Phil Hendry Show. As of October the 1st, our second generation BSPs begin their Phil Hendry sojourn. See you tonight, folks, on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry.